Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.80.39. Etad viditva udite ravo sandipanir guruhu anveshamano na shishyan acharyo apashyad aturan etad viditva udite Rabau Shandi Panir Guruhu Anveshamano Nashishyan Acharyo Pashadaturan Etad Vititva Udite Rabau Shandi Panir Guruhu Anveshamano nashishyan Acharyo pashadaturan Etad viditva udite Rabau sandi panir guruhu Anveshamano nashishyan Acharyo Pashadaturan Etad Viditva Udite Anve Panir Guruhu Anveshamano Nashishan Acharyo Pashadaturan Etad viditva udite Abha sandhi panir guruhu Ante shamana na shishya Acharyo pashadatura Ladies Etad viditva udite Abhav Sandhi Panir Guruhu Ante Shamano Nashishyam Acharyo Pashadakura Etad This Viditva Knowing Udite When it rose Rabo The sun Sandipanihi Sandipani Guruhu Our spiritual master Anveshamanaha Searching Naha For us Shishyan His disciples Acharyaha Our teacher Apashyat Saw Aturan, who were distressed. Better? Yeah. Our guru, Sandipani, understanding our predicament, set out after sunrise to search for us, his disciples, and found us in distress. Aho he putraka yuyam asmadarte titukitaha atma vai praninam preshtas tamanadrityamatparaha. Sandipani said, O my children, You have suffered so much for my sake. The body is most dear to every living creature, but you are so dedicated to me that you have completely disregarded your own comfort. Etadeva hi sacchishyai kartavyam guru nishkritam yadvai vishuddha bhavena sabartatmarpanam guru. This indeed is the duty of all true disciples, to repay the debt to their spiritual master by offering him with pure hearts their wealth and even their very lives. Purport. One engages one's body to realize one's purposes. The body is also the basis of the material conception of I, while one's fortune is the basis of the conception of mine. Thus, by offering everything to the spiritual master, one realizes oneself to be an eternal servant of the Lord. The spiritual master does not exploit the disciple, but rather engages him fully in Krishna consciousness for the disciple's eternal benefit. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Jena Bhutade Swayam Rupakada Mayam Tadhati Shapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamanam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vancha Kolpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhar Shiva Sari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Etad Viditva Udite Ravo Sandipanir Guruhu Andeshamano Nashishyan Acharyo Pashad Aturan. Oh, Sudama and Krishna had been out gathering firewood for their Guru Maharaj, but then they were stranded in a big storm. And the spiritual master could understand the boys are missing. And when the sun rose, he went out searching. As long as it was night, there was nothing to do. Nothing could be done. But when the sun came up, then he began searching for the boys. Guru Acharya, the terms are synonymous. The guru is the spiritual master. The Acharya is also the spiritual master. Guru implies that he's very heavy. He has great weight to his teachings. And Acharya indicates that he teaches by his example. Apani Acharya Prabhu Jivire Shikaya. So, the same person here, Sandipani Muni, is described as Acharya Guru. And Shishan, he went to search out the disciples. Aho he putraka yuyam asmarateti dukkita atmavai praninam preshtas tam manadrita matparaha. So he found them in their distressed situation, and he exclaimed, aho, my dear putraka, my dear boys, my dear sons. Putra means son. So the relationship between the disciple and spiritual master and disciple is like that of the father and son. The father is responsible for the education of the son, the welfare of the son, ultimately responsible for making sure that the son gets liberation from material existence and goes back home, back to Godhead. So the spiritual master is the, or ultimately Krishna is the father of all living entities, aham bija pradapita. And the spiritual master is the representative of Krishna, sakshad hari tena samasta shastra. So he serves as the father of the disciples. Father means that the person will have to undergo some trouble. The bona fide son undergoes some difficulty for the wealth, benefit, interests of the father. The father also undergoes so much trouble for the welfare of the sons. Anyone here who's a father knows how much trouble, or mother, they know how much trouble you have to take for your children. They need this, they need that. You're worried about this, you're worried about that. So many concerns. So putraka, the shishya, the disciple, is the like the son of the spiritual master. As mentioned, not for exploitation, but the spiritual master has the duty to care for the disciple, to see to the welfare of the disciple. The father and mother give the body, and the birth takes place, but the second birth of the human being takes place by the grace of the spiritual master and Vedic knowledge. The spiritual master is the father, and Vedic wisdom, Vedic literature, Vedic knowledge is the mother. Aho putraka yuyam asmad arte dukkita atmavai. You've gone through so much trouble for the sake of your spiritual master. Asmad arte. For my sake, you've undergone so much difficulty. Dukkita. You've suffered. Atma vai praninam preshta. For all the pranis, all the living beings, the body is very dear, preshta. Now, everyone cares about their body. If you drive down the street, there will be so many hospitals, so many medical shops, for the welfare of this body, then clothing shops so that the body will be nicely dressed, furniture shops so that the body will be comfortable. Again, in the pharmacy, half the pharmacy is filled with beauty items for the so the body will look very nice. So much people care about the welfare and comfort and satisfaction of the body. Practically our whole life is about that. My eyes want to see this, my hands want to touch that, my tongue wants to taste this. We're so much concerned with the bodily interests. And even those who are not simply sense gratifiers, still they don't want to go through too much trouble. If it's cold out, they'd rather stay inside. If it's wet outside, inside. Outside, they'd rather stay inside. If it's to this or to that, they'd rather not to undergo too much trouble. Everyone tries to avoid trouble. How I can be comfortable, how I can eat nicely, and of course, the way of the material world is that people are forced to undergo trouble anyway. They get on the train and they pack in and they bounce up and down for an hour and then they go do hard work. Then people go through so much trouble, but it's for this body and the extensions of the body. For this body, then the associated bodies, the wife, children, family members. And even for the wife, children, and family members, sometimes one will sacrifice them for one's own welfare. So generally people are concerned with the bodily comfort. Even when Dadhichi Muni was asked that we need you, by Lord Indra, we need your bones, because this demon is there, Vritrasura, and Lord Vishnu has said that if we make a weapon from your bones, then we can defeat the demon. So if you would kindly give your bones. But the Dadhichi Muni said, you don't realize what you're asking. So much trouble. Who wants to give up the body? The body is so precious. Of course he did it, but he was taking the role of the attached person who under no circumstances wants to give up his body. Only circumstances under which he'll give up his body is if the body causes more pain than he can tolerate. Then sometimes he'll give it up. But not, alright, I was hoping for enjoyment, I'm only getting suffering. Now let me give up this body. But otherwise, as long as there's even the slightest hope for enjoyment, one cares for the body so much. In big cities, you see people, they've got treadmills, they've got bicycle exercise machines, so many things. But anadrita matpara, you've disregarded your bodily interests, matpara, for my sake. Oh, how astonishing, how wonderful that you've sacrificed for the sake of your guru. Etareva hi sat shishya. This is the business of the sat shishya, the good disciple, the true disciple. A sat shishya is something else. He wants to take advantage of whatever the spiritual master can offer for his own profit, for his own interests, to solve his own problems, to... Yes. He's interested in his own sake. But Satshishya, the true disciple, is interested in the interests of the guru. He's interested in the service of the guru. Kartavyam guru nishkritam. He feels ever indebted to the spiritual master. And to pay off that debt, he wants to serve him vishuddha-bhavena, vishuddha-bhav, with a completely in pure consciousness, anya-vilashita-shunyam, jnana-karma-ajna-vritam. Sarva-artha-atmarpanam-guru. Arpana means offering. He wants to dedicate his everything, all of his wealth, all of his assets, sarvatma, his whole body, his whole mind, his whole, all of his words, his whole existence. Atma encompasses all of these things. He wants to dedicate everything to the service of the spiritual master. Nirmama nirahankara sushanti madigashchati. This is nirmama and nirahankara. Ahankara means I'm this body. And mamatva, this is mine. Aham mameti. So one thinks that this body is myself and these people are my own people, my family members. And one wants to, and this is my money. And so one is holding on to everything. But the bona fide disciple thinks that everything belongs to Krishna. And everything belongs to the spiritual master, who's Krishna's representative, who's rescued me from material existence and given me the privilege of devotional service. So I should dedicate everything. What will I get from dedicating my energy? Pranina means those who have pran, those who have energy. Why should I dedicate my energy to this dead body? Or to the other dead bodies that are associated with this one? Why should I dedicate it to accumulating some papers or coins? Let me dedicate my body, mind, words, everything to the spiritual master. This is the bhav, the mood, the heart of the genuine disciple. It's not something impersonal. It's not something merely representative of institutional loyalty. There's personal indebtedness by the disciple to the spiritual master. That's the philosophy. One may have some interest in trying to solve this problem or that problem by moving the philosophy around, but this is the philosophy that the sakshad hari tena samasta shastra, the spiritual master is directly the representative of Krishna, and therefore yasya prasadad bhagavat prasada. The business of the disciple is to do whatever will please the bona fide spiritual master. Because when the spiritual master is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. Because sakshat hari, as long as the spiritual master is directly representing Krishna's interests, then there's no difference between Krishna and the spiritual master. One is Krishna the master, the other is Krishna the servant. That's all. And the bona fide disciple, therefore, has to be sold out to the spiritual master. One time, Srila Prabhupada was asked, he was sitting with some devotees. Some gentleman asked him, what is the position of the disciple? What is the role of the disciple? So Prabhupada asked some disciple, you say? He said, servant, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, menial servant. Menial servant means whatever is small, or what's the word? Paltry, insignificant, low service. It doesn't have to be the prestigious slot. Any small thing, or any even demeaning thing, you know. Not that, well, I can't clean the toilets because I'm this or I'm that. Menial servant means the person who will do whatever is needed. Whatever is needed. So one has to be, the bona fide disciple makes the interests of the spiritual master, the service of the spiritual master, his life and soul. Ekeha Kuru Nandana. And therefore he gets the blessings of the bona fide spiritual master, and that makes the disciple's life successful. Okay, are there some questions?
Maharaj, you're speaking about father and son relationship. There is always a doubt used to be there in our mind, those who are in a household life, that there should be one limit for a father serving the son. There should be some limit for a father serving the son.
Some limit?
For father serving the son. When the son has been well educated, qualified, and he's settled, then still the father has to go on serving, or he has to make a full stop and say, that's it, I wanted to completely commit myself.
Hare Krishna. This is the material relationship, father and son. But according to the Vedic wisdom, one should not go on in family life eternally, worrying about the son or the daughter. Oh, daughter is still to be married. And now what about the grandchildren? And what? At a certain point, that's defined. Panchashortam vanam brajet. After 50, pack it in. One should give up family life. Prahlad Maharaj told his father, tat sadhu manye suravarya dehinam sada samud vigna dhyam asatgrahat. Then, hidvatmapatam grihamandakupam vanam gato yad tanim ashrayeta. That finally one should leave family life and the dark well, he says, of family life, and go to the forests and take shelter of Krishna. So now to go to the forest may not be so practical, but Vrindavan is there. That's the forest. And one should go. Because finally, I'm not this body. And then this is not my son, this is not my wife, this is not my daughter, this is not my this, my that. On the spiritual platform, Chakudandilo Jay Janme Janme Prabhushe, the relationship between spiritual master and disciple is permanent. But the relationship in the material world is temporary. Even if I think, no, I must go on serving my son. I must go on serving my wife. I must go. How long can you do it? How long can you do it? And finally, actually, one becomes a burden to the son, a burden to the wife, a burden to the old. This old man is, you know, grouching around, and he wants this and he wants that. And they're looking forward to the day when he'll no longer be extant. And then our expenses will be relieved of some expense and botheration.
One of the problem that comes up sometimes is the health of that person is not permitting him to go and completely stay alone.
Therefore, one should get out before that point comes. No, seriously. Seriously. Prabhupada makes that point. While we still have our energy. If we want to leave family life when we're 75, no, but I can't go because this and this and this and this and this and this and my kidneys and my this and my that. He's only good for going from doctor to doctor. And somebody has to give him his dinner and maybe feed him also. Then he can't get out. He's lost. You know, they speak, the term is their window of opportunity. When that window is open, you can move. When the window shuts, it's over. And that's, you lost your opportunity. You wanted to bid on some contract, but the deadline went by and you didn't put in your bid. The chance to enter the race came, but you let it go by. Whatever it is, window of opportunity. Prabhupada emphasizes several times in his books that while we still have our strength, we should get out of family life. Therefore, it's been given, Pancha Shordham, 50 years. Not 80 years. 80 years, you can barely get your wheelchair out of the old age home to go into the garden and look at the sun. At 50 years, you can still do something. Take shelter of Krishna, and then Krishna will see to the rest.
Maharaj, what about the person who is somehow mentally be decided that he can leave, but he's not so financially strong enough that he can survive alone?
Whoa. Not so financially strong that he can survive. Krishna is there. And Krishna says, Nitya yukta vyukta nam yogakshema vahamya. If one takes shelter of Krishna, then Krishna is the financier. Therefore, in the system of varnashram, the vanaprasthashram is there, then sannyasashram, in different stages, so that one develops the confidence. He gradually becomes detached. He sees that, okay, I can work less and still things will go on. Okay, my sons can take over the business. Still things will go on. I can go out from home for 3 weeks at a time. Things will go on. 6 weeks, still things will go on. I can live on the outskirts of the village and people will bring me food. I can forget about the village. I'll still get my food. Gradually he becomes more detached, and more confident that Krishna will maintain me. What were Prabhupada's finances when he went to Vrindavan? What were his finances when he came to America? If he took that attitude, he could have said, well, I would have liked, my Guru Maharaj told me to preach in English, but my finances, so I'd better stay home and with my family and run the pharmacy. He didn't think that. My Guru Maharaj has given me some mission. Let me depend on Krishna and do it to the best of my ability. If Krishna desires, he'll send so much money. If Krishna desires the other way, then I won't have any money. But someplace, there's on every grain of rice someone's name is written, food will come. Prabhupada told the story one time that there was Kumbh Mela. I think in Ujjain now Kumbh Mela is going on. So there was Kumbh Mela and so many millions of people. And there was some old woman who was crying. So a young man was there. Mother, why are you crying? No, how will I feed all of these people? Or how will they get their food? Where will all these people stay? Because there's lakhs and lakhs of people. Where will they stay? How will they eat? The young man left. He said, Mother, you just wait till evening. Then the evening came, He said, Mother, where have all those people gone? Everybody had a place. Everybody had some food. You go to the Kumbh Mela, you see that. There's so many millions of people. But at the end of the day, everybody's got some place. Maybe he's got a tent. Maybe he found a corner under a tree. Maybe he's got this, that. Everybody's got some place. And everybody's got some food. The rich man brought a whole arrangement. The poor man goes around and gets a little something here and there. But everybody gets. According to Prabhupada gave so many examples. The ant is getting, the elephant is getting, the child is born, the breast milk is there. It's nature's arrangement. So it's not a lack of finances, it's a lack of confidence. It's a lack of confidence. Krishna says, I'll maintain you. I'll provide what you need. So one has to practice. One has to, first of all, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, hear the philosophy. All right, he's busy in household life, but he's hearing. And he knows that at some point I have to give this up, and Krishna will maintain me. Not that unless I've got a financial, a stash somewhere. Even Sanatan Goswami, when he left home, he was keeping some gold coins with him. Rupa Goswami had a boat of coins. Sanatan Goswami kept, 10 or 12? Then, as he was traveling, basically getting as far away as he could from Hussein Shah, the innkeeper had an astrologer, and they were staying at some inn for the night. He had an astrologer. He knew Sanatan Goswami has this many gold coins. This guest has so many gold coins. And Sanatan Goswami could figure it out. So he offered the gold coins to the innkeeper. You take them. I don't need them anyway. And his servant Ishan was keeping a little extra. So he said, Ishan, you keep the extra also, and you go home. I better keep you with me just in case. And that gold coin might come in handy. He gave up. Krishna will protect me. Krishna will maintain me. And they'd been accustomed to such a lifestyle. They all rich men, Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Shiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. They were millionaires. Chaktva Turna Mashesha Mandalapati Shanim Saratuchchavat. They gave it all up. And they were depending on Krishna, that's all. When Raghunath went to Vrindavan, and his father and uncle were sending him money, just, all right, he escaped, but he shouldn't live in poverty. And he was taking the money and just using it to throw feasts for the devotees. But finally he decided, why am I doing that? I've accepted renounced life and I'm still taking this money. He stopped taking the money also. Finally, then he was just begging something at the in front of the Singhadwar. Finally he thought, I'm standing here like a prostitute, begging. Maybe some man will come, maybe he'll take pity on me, maybe he'll give me some money. So finally he was just taking the little grains from the drain of the Jagannath temple. So of course he's Raghunath Das Goswami, he could do that. But he wasn't thinking that, no, I'd better go back to my father. At least security was there, financial security. The whole material world is painting this picture of financial security. I think maybe I talked about this one time in a class. In South Africa, where I go regularly, there were some hoardings in the airport terminal. And from some investment company. And they were all a little different, but the theme was always the same. And the theme was, it showed some man you know, just a little silver-haired, you know, like your age, just, you know, distinguished older gentleman. And his wife is there, and maybe his kid or two. And kind of looking back on his youth, and his wife is saying, "I'm so proud that you made wise decisions for our retirement." Or he's saying to himself, "I'm so glad that I invested wisely." You know, it's all, "You're a smart fellow because you made provisions for your financial security. When you were young, you thought ahead and you made provisions for your old age so that you could have a golden retirement." So that's the theme. Enjoy while you're young, but save up enough so that you'll have a really comfortable retirement in your golden years, as they're called. And the reality is that in your old age, you suffer like a dog. No matter how much money you have, no matter if you're rich, you spend your money going from this specialist to that specialist. If you're poor, you just take whoever the insurance company gives you. You can't really eat well. You go through so much anxiety because what kind of sex life can you have when you're 60, 65, 70? But you still want it and you still want to try. But it's frustrating because it doesn't work. This aches, that aches. This breaks down, that breaks down. It's like fighting to, you know, you've got some old broken down house and you're fighting to, you know, "Oh gosh, now the wall's broken. Oh gosh, now the plumbing's broken. Oh gosh, we need to fix the wiring. The plumbing broke again." Everything's always breaking down, and you have to fix it. And your sons are not what you hoped they would be, and your daughters are not what you hoped they would be, or they are, but something else. And it never works. It's never like you just sail into your old age in happy bliss. If you do, it's because you have Alzheimer's. You don't know what's going on. So the picture of security, what security? The only thing that's secure is the promise. Jatasya hi dhruva mrityu. If you were born, you're going to die. That's for sure. And dhruvam janma mrityu cha. And you'll get another life again. You'll have to go through the whole process one more time. So what security are we getting? You know, in your old age, you can have a house built on swampland or something. You know, it doesn't work. Yes.
Another doubt that happens is many times. There are two questions here I wanted to clarify. One question is, Maharaj, that a person who has completely worked in his household life, in a very hectic life from 9 to 8 o'clock in the night, completely focused in his work for a survival, and then immediately once his responsibility gets over, he has to change his lifestyle. And he is not able to cope up
therefore
with that lifestyle.
Therefore, he should change it to begin with. He shouldn't build up. Though now I'm a grahasta, building up like a pillow, you know, that gets bigger and bigger. He should know. What is that? Jivasya tattva jigyasa narto yascheya karmibhi. My business is self-realization. That's called grahasta ashram. So he lives with less. He doesn't struggle more than he needs to struggle. So that when he has to, why should I build all this up when I'm going to have to give it up anyway? So as much as I need, so that when the time comes to leave, it'll be easier. Bhagavatam gives the example of the silkworm that wraps itself up in a cocoon so effectively that it can't get out. And the silk merchant comes and throws the cocoon in oil and then it's all over. Or the king who has a big turban on his head so that if he falls in the water, he goes down faster with all that weight. So the trick is in householder life not to build up more than we need, to be satisfied with less so that getting out is possible or easier.
Second doubt Maharaj is having is when a person, after husband and wife, the husband makes it clear that that's it, this time we have to finish it off. But the wife is not prepared. And the wife is complaining or the family members complain that if you go, you have taken the responsibility of getting married with her, and now she is not going to be taken care by the children nicely, and you are the cause of it. In that situation, what should be?
According to the famous English proverb or English expression, that's the way the cookie crumbles. Which means that's life. That's the way it is. The Kardam Muni said, till the child is born and then I'm gone. You know, they have these days prenuptial agreements, which are, you know, like complex legal contracts when you get married. You know, he gets this and she gets this and this, 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 this. In the event of separation or divorce, this, 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 this. Kardam Muni had a simple prenuptial contract. I'm there till the child's born and then I'm out. That was the deal. So Vedic householder life or Krishna conscious householder life means 25 years and then I'm gone. Not that, no, I still have this, I still have that, I still have that. Therefore, the sannyas doesn't need the wife's permission. I mean, maybe some institutional government will make an unusual law requiring that your wife sign some paper in quadruplicate saying, yes, I'm happy if he takes sannyas. But according to the tradition, you never ask your wife because she'll say no. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't ask Vishnupriya, I'm leaving, okay? Raghunath Das Goswami didn't get permission from his wife. It's understood the wife never wants the husband to leave. But he takes the responsibility and then he goes.
Even if the wife is a devotee, then is it not a Vaishnava aparadha?
Even the wife is a devotee. To inflict yourself, your presence on her for any more time would be a Vaishnavi aparadha. One should try to make every arrangement as far as possible. And therefore, the vanaprastha ashram is there. Generally, you know, if you have householder life and then one day you announce, I'm gone, or they open the bedroom door and you're gone, that can be tumultuous. Therefore, vanaprastha ashram. Gradual detachment. Then finally, cut, cut, cut. That's called life planning. You can advertise, you know, they have their Jivan this and Jivan that to the insurance companies. And they're trying to make a life plan for you. Plan for your whole life. You know, the people who are really planning for your life are the actuaries. You know what an actuary is? They're the people who do the financial calculations to make sure that the insurance company always comes out ahead. So they're taking money from you your whole life and they're calculating the odds and figuring that we're going to pay back less than we took in. Otherwise, how could they be in business? Anyway, that aside, they're advertising, you know, big posters with the grandpa with the kid on his knee and all of that rubbish. We should advertise the real life plan. Brahmachari ashram, grihastha ashram, then vanaprastha ashram, detachment, then finally sannyasa ashram, complete renunciation. So that intermediate ashram is there, vanaprastha, to make it practical. Sometimes, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, forget everything else. Sannyas, immediately. For the higher purpose. And how old did he live to be? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed only 32 years? 48 years. Shankaracharya, 32 years. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 48 years. If he'd taken sannyas when he was 50, he would have already been gone. So he took sannyas at a young age. But generally the system is there. Grihastha, then vanaprastha, then sannyas. But if we start thinking about these things when we're 65, 70, then as you said, health is gone and I can't leave home because who will feed me my applesauce?
What should be the lifestyle or a day-to-day living or a daily timetable type of a thing for a person who accepts vanaprastha life?
Daily timetable will depend upon each person. What he does, how he exactly lives as a vanaprastha, because family life is different, each grihastha is different. So each vanaprastha will be different. But the basic idea is that his time should be spent in hearing and chanting and service. And some time will be spent for seeing to the business or seeing to whatever. But the theme is winding down. Just like a young man gets married, the theme is building up. Because now he's getting married, so he didn't need an apartment, he didn't need this, he didn't need that. Now he needs all of these things. Because he has to take care of the wife, has to take care of the family, so now he needs good occupation, good apartment, he needs this, he needs that. So he's building up his credentials, his career, his CV, his, employability, whatever it is. Building up. And then he gets an apartment, then a bigger apartment, then an extension to the house, or whatever it is. So he's building up. Joins so many associations for business opportunity. Because, he wants to have a successful family life. And vanaprastha means just the opposite, just like the way the creation is made. It starts from sound vibration, and then the elements expand one after another, and they, exfoliate, expand as the whole cosmic creation with all of its detail. And at the time of dissolution, this element is collapsed into this element, that element's collapsed into this element, they're all collapsed into it, finally there's nothing left. Same thing the yogis, they merge all the elements back into their source and then there's nothing left. So that's called pralaya, destruction. So this body will be destroyed, my family life will be destroyed, it will all be destroyed. But vanaprastha life means voluntarily winding down. I was building up. Now, I was just in Mayapur. There was a little program held about vanaprastha ashram. And one of my godbrothers, Panchratna Prabhu, was saying, we got rid of this and we got rid of this, and he was like a testifying, how he's following his vanaprastha life. We got rid of this and we didn't need that, and my wife got rid of all this jewelry and this and that, and we're so much happier. So one step after another, another of my friends, Atul Krishna, some of you know him in Mayapur, he has his wife and home in Mayapur. But he's living down the street. His wife is living here and he's living there, and he comes for lunch and so on. Kadamba Kanana Maharaj also, before he took sannyas, First he was just spending so much time a day with his wife, he was again coming for lunch. Then only in, you know, little time in a day, discussion. Then just passing some notes. And finally, finished. Gradually. Prabhupada told that sometimes one may, vanaprasthas may be at home and then go out and then come back and see how things are going on and then go out again. So different systems, but the idea is, the theme is winding down. Another of my friends, Shubha Vilash Prabhu, he lives in Toronto. He was running a big business. He was a successful businessman. Then now my son and daughter are coming in and I'm showing them. Now my son and daughter are looking after things and I'm only coming in an hour a day. Now I'm only going in once a week. Now I'm not going. So, in that way, gradually handing over. Because I know I'm going to be out of the scene. And why should I wait till I'm kicked out of the scene? Let me, even in a company, you do that. The CEO and the big officers, the company doesn't run under the illusion that all of these people are going to be there forever. They have a succession plan, they have a plan how Steve Jobs is going to leave and Apple Computer is still going to go on. There must be that. So in family life, taking it as a business or an establishment, you have to make a plan that I'm going to be gone. And maybe I'll even be gone before I can execute my plan, because death may come at any moment and then I'm really gone. But better voluntarily go and not be dragged out kicking and screaming.
One biggest hinge that I've seen it somehow, and that fear is there, after seeing that it can happen in our life also. When a person accepts in a proper way vanaprastha life, he stays in the house, but he's completely focusing in Krishna consciousness. And the son has taken up all the things. The son gets married. Now in the family, the son gets a child. That means the father he's seeing as a grandchild in the house. There's so much attachment to the grandchild.
Therefore,
and that becomes such a big distraction in the family. And then one side one feel it. On one side this person is accepting vanaprastha life, on the other side is completely attached to the grandchild.
That's not vanaprastha life. You know, when Ram went to the forest, he didn't take all the citizens with him. So forest life doesn't mean that, well, I'll go to the forest and according to Shastra, my wife can come as a voluntary assistant, so let her come. My sons can also come. My grandchildren can also come. If I have an internet connection, I can still run my business from the forest. Therefore, in Manu Sangita, I don't know exactly the quotation, but it's basically there that when you see your skin is wrinkled and that your hair is turning gray and you see the children of your children, out. Get out. Because yes, it's a trap. For the wife, it's allowed. Let her stay at home and she can help with the grandchildren, all of those things. And she should also be in a spirit of detachment. But for the husband, no, don't stay to obsess over your grandchildren like a foolish materialist. Oh, they need me. They don't need you. They need you to set the example that you're also going to have to die and better to die voluntarily by leaving every, that Gaur Govinda Maharaj used to say, die before dying. Srila Sridhar Maharaj also used to say, die before dying. Don't die by force, die voluntarily. Otherwise, and not this way, by attachment to your grandchildren, that's voluntarily accepting samsara. Because I'm attached to children, grandchildren, how am I going to go back to Godhead? If my business in life is to go back to Godhead, how do I accomplish that mission? By filling myself with affection for my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Dehat mabudi kunapetri datuke svadi kalatradi shubhomani chidi. Sayava gokara. So, and we used to laugh when Prabhupada would talk about these things in the beginning, how now there's a Dhritarashtra in every house. A foolish old man. And now those same young brahmacharis who were laughing are the present Dhritarashtras. They can't get out of family life. In spite of being instructed, in spite of chanting Hare Krishna, still they remain attached to family life. So, we should, it's difficult. This attachment is very strong. Padasanga shastrena jritena tritva. One should break it. With determination. With the weapon of determined detachment. Asanga shastrena. With the weapon of detachment, jritena. With determination. Chitva. One should cut it. Time is gone. Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.